You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her Son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, to this program about Fatima. We are still stuck in the basics of theology. You know, the theology that my understanding of Fatima and your understanding of Fatima, it is an event that has to be conceptualized theologically, and that's what the Church does, because apparitions there are so many. And so you remember that we have been talking that faith has to be reasonable, because God has created us with a reason, to reason things up to where we can go with our reason. Of course, faith is also a leap of trust, a step into darkness, at least darkness for a while, because then probably you will see, but with the eyes of faith. So it's all this is all a mystery. Of course, God is not accessible by other means. If God would be accessible by reason itself, by rationality, then we would be, I can tell you, we would be superior than God. Because what some atheists and agnostics, what they don't want to understand is that if you are to believe in God, then God is a creator, of course, otherwise it's pointless to believe in a God that is not the creator of everything and that is sustainable of life in here and hereafter. So if you are to believe in God, of course, and if he's the creator, you know, you have to understand, just be logical, that the creator knows everything about the creature, but the creature will never be able to know everything about the creator. You know, just imagine of anything that you create, you know everything about it, but that thing doesn't know about you. Even if that thing is self-conscious, like we are self-conscious and we are the only creatures that are indeed self-conscious. But being self-conscious, as God is self-conscious, does not allow us to be superior than God, to grasp the whole thing of God, because his mind created our mind, so his mind is always bigger than ours, because we are a part, a speck of his mind, and the part will never be able to understand the whole. God is the whole. We are a particle, a subatomical particle of the mind of God. So how can we understand God completely? So we cannot go by reason, because reason is unable to reach God by itself. It has to be by faith. But anyway, we can only go by faith. Faith is what is the basic thing for relationship with God, but is also the basic thing for relationship with people. Why? Because people are not object of science. I know that there are human sciences, but human sciences and positive sciences, like, you know, psychology can be considered a human science, and astronomy or biology is a positive science. You know, in biology you can prove things, and once they are proven, they are proven. But in psychology, nothing is proven. Because the object of psychology, being the human being, can never be completely grasped. It's a mystery, as God is a mystery. So faith is what our relationships are based on, faith and trust, like as much as the relationship with God. So there you are. And from here, what I wanted to say today is that all this is within the chapter that in Fatima, the extraordinary happened extraordinarily. But before that, I'm going to say almost the contrary, and which is based on the theology that I studied in Madrid with the Jesuits in their university they have there. So and I do have to reason with that theology, and then I'll go a step forward and see how can we conceptualize Fatima theologically. So the theology that I studied, that indeed is very important that we understand it, because it's also biblical. The extraordinary doesn't happen extraordinarily. It happens within the ordinary. The extraordinary does not occur extraordinarily. That is, in a dazzling and objective, obvious way, in everyone's eyes, so that faith is not needed. On the contrary, the extraordinary happens within the ordinary in a hidden way that is only perceivable or visible through the eyes of faith. To back this up, I would like to read you 1 Kings 19:11-13, this episode with Elijah. The Lord said to Elijah, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" There you are. You see, we would expect, you know, in that the extraordinary happens extraordinarily, that God reveals himself in an extraordinary way, well, that's theologically, that's somehow so wrong. God never reveals himself in a way that you don't need faith. It's like any event. When an event is seen by three different people, and those three different people, they have three different interpretations of the same event. So, such is with faith. Only the one that has faith sees things in that ordinary event that the other does not see. So, as he said, the worst blind person is the one that doesn't want to see. And of course, look at the event of Jesus. The event of Jesus, the historical Jesus. Well, the miracles were out there to be seen by everybody, and yet some believed and others didn't believe. You saw the Pharisees didn't believe. Why? They didn't want to believe. And there was no way you could even raise from the dead. They wouldn't believe. They would interpret it as, well, that was a magic trick. That was something. Oh, you expulsed the evil spirits? Well, that probably you have some friendship with the evil one. That's why you have power to expulse the... You see, you can always get away and go against fate. So it is on you. God will never come to you objectively, scientifically, that you don't need faith to believe in him. Brothers, welcome back. We were saying that seeing is believing. It's what it's a proverb, it's an English expression that I believe. It comes from the Bible. You remember the episode of the Apostle Thomas, that if I don't see, I won't believe. Well, see, that's, let me... Although it was said by an apostle, but that's what we say. If I don't see, I don't believe. Well, if you see, you don't need to believe. If you see something objectively, well, you know, you don't have to believe that the water is formed by oxygen and hydrogen. You don't have to believe. That is a proven thing. And you would be stupid if you say, no, but I don't believe in it. Well, so when you see objectively, then you don't need the faith. So seeing is believing. No, I would say the opposite. Believing is seeing. Remember that all the miracles that Jesus has done, he has done then on the basis of the faith for the ones that wanted the miracle, the beneficiaries of that miracle. Do you believe that I can do that? And remember that Jesus in Nazareth was not able to do any miracle there. And why? Because the people did not believe. So faith is needed to have the miracle. And faith is needed also to see it in the everyday life. So no faith, no miracle. So it's the faith somehow. The faith somehow that creates the miracle. And so I was saying that the generation of Jesus, you would say, well, for them, they didn't need faith because they saw everything. No, that's they needed the faith. They saw the things, but did they believe in them? Even the apostles, apart from Peter, that does his confession of faith. People say that you are a prophet, but I say you are the Messiah. You are the chosen one. You are the Son of God. So that's Peter. But that's the other, probably at that time, among the 12, there were people that were believing what the people believed. And what the disciples of Emmaus believed about Jesus. You know, in the disciples of Emmaus, we have somehow an interpretation of how his own disciples were looking at Jesus, especially Jesus' death, their interpretation of Jesus' death. And what did they say? They said, well, to that stranger, that was Jesus, but they didn't know. To that stranger, they said, well, it's you are the only one that doesn't know what happened in Jerusalem about Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet that was great, a great prophet, in words and deeds. And then they said, we believed that he could have been, or that he would be, something more than a prophet. But then he just got killed, so our belief was baseless, but still a prophet. And then Jesus helped them to look at the Bible, in a different way, help them to interpret the Bible so as to accommodate the death of Jesus within the Bible, to make it logical, and to make it that it was not only possible, but that the Son of God would die, but it was needed somehow that the Son of God would die. So another point in this extraordinary and ordinary, it's that God created the laws of nature. If God created the laws of nature, then it will not be him who will break them first. So if you break them, why do you create them? We know that creation was created well. And of everything that God was creating, he would say, and it was a good thing that I did, and it was another morning and another afternoon. So it was well done, and it was all done harmonically, and in a way, all done in a balanced way. You see, they say the physics, you know, what we have, the amount of oxygen that we have in the air is the right one. If we had a little more oxygen in the air, you know, when you light the fire, everything would set ablaze. You know, the planet, our planet, is our solar system is placed in the galaxy in the right way, further away from the center of the galaxy, and there wouldn't be possible to have life. And further into the center of the galaxy, no life. And our planet is equidistant to the Sun. You know, most of the planets of solar system, they are gas. They are not rocky planets like the Earth, the Moon, the Venus, and Mars. Only these are rocky planets. So, and our place being the third planet, it's the right place to have life. So everything, and also to explain it further, they say that the butterfly effect. Some say that a flap of wings of a butterfly in Hong Kong could produce a storm in New York. You know, that's our nature. Everything is like in a domino effect. Everything is so related. If there is an animal that vanishes, that animal was probably in the food chain of another animal. So everything becomes unbalanced, and we have seen some imbalances in our planet because of the man's interference. So this law exists if we observe nature, and if these laws exist, they were created such by God, and God is certainly not the one that is going to interfere with these laws. Now, so that means that God neither punishes nor rewards. He does not interfere in the lives of men. He lets them roam and fare freely. He is not a fireman who comes to put out the fire should an intervention be needed. He would do it indirectly in a discreet and mysterious way through mediators inspired by him, but never directly. You know, God to act upon this world is autonomous. And suggested by the book of Genesis, he has given us this world. He created us, he has given it to us. And we are the administrators of this creation, not just we are the administrators of everything in creation. We are not the owners. We are not the owners of creation. The owner is God. We own nothing. We not even own our own lives. Even to our own lives, we are administrators. Only God is the owner of life and our own life. So God does not interfere. He does interfere, but through mediators, through those that love him, through the prophets. You know, as the letter to the Hebrews says, God in so many very ways spoken to the people through the prophets. Yes, always through somebody that is very attuned with God. Somebody that loves God very much, that is in communication with God. God uses that person as an instrument to act upon the world. But he never comes out directly, as I say, in a way that you would have to believe. So God does not interfere. Where do I base this thing that God does not interfere? Well, it is so clear in the gospel. I refer to you the parable of the talents. You know, in the parable of the talents, we see a master who is leaving his house, to travel, and before leaving, entrusted his property to his servants, according to the abilities of each one. And one servant received 5 talents, the second has received 2 talents, and the third received only 1 talent. Well, they receive the talents that they needed. Now, one thing that is very wrong against God is the sin of envy. When you look at yourself and you see no talents, and you look at others and you see so many talents, you know, that behavior is very wrong. Because whilst you are focusing on the talents of somebody else, you are somehow, just by focusing in the talents of somebody else, you are hiding your own talents. You are hiding your own talents. And so you will never see them because you are not focusing on them. God cannot be unfair that he gives so much talents to somebody and no talents to anybody, to other persons. So he has given you enough talents to make your life viable. Look for them. Don't bury them. They are there. And then, you know, God goes away. God is not... is not that the person is there to spy on you. He will come. He will come one day, like the parable of the vineyard. He built a vineyard and entrusted it to some tenants, and then he went away. Well, it is a bad behavior, thinking out of sight, out of mind. Well, don't put... God is out of sight, but don't put him out of your mind, because he will come one day and ask you for your talents. What have you done with them? And ask you for the fruits in his vineyard. What have you done? Did you produce fruits or not? So, but God is not that, like the patron that is there always spying on the employee to see if he works or if he does not work, because some employees only work if the boss is there. If the boss is out of sight, then they don't work. Well, that would be very wrong if you do that with God. Work, because in them you never know the day and the hour that will come to ask for the fruits of your life.
You have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada every Thursday at 10:30 a.m., where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.